This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. About a year and a half ago, I saw a documentary called Undefeated, which won for Best Documentary at the 2012 Academy Awards. It was about a guy by the name of Bill Courtney, who is a businessman in Memphis, Tennessee. He owns a company called Classic American Hardwoods, who had volunteered as a high school coach in an inner city high school in North Memphis and had taken them to a remarkable season. And he turned out to be a remarkable guy. I wrote a review of that movie. I tweeted a link to that review. Bill saw it, liked what I said about him, sent me a thank you note. I then sent him a note and said, why don't you come on the show and we'll talk about it. And we had a great conversation on the air. And now here it is, a year and a half later, and Bill has gotten around to writing a book. It's called Against the Grain, A Coach's Wisdom on Character, Faith, Family, and Love. Bill, I'm very happy to have you back on the show today. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing wonderfully. Let's start off with big football coaches meeting. You and Pete Carroll, the guy behind the Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks earlier this week. How did that come about, and how was it for you?
Well, since it was great, and since winning the, you know, since the Academy Awards and all, I speak all over the country to a host of different venues, mostly business-oriented. And I did a thing with Coach Carroll at his Nike Win Forever in Los Angeles some months ago. We became kind of buddies and stayed in touch. And he invited me to the NFC Championship game. And anyway, when my book came out, he said that he would be happy to do what he could to support it. And I said, well, Coach, you know, you and I have similar philosophies. I think it's interesting how these philosophies work in high school, pros, business, family. I said I would love to maybe have an open conversation about the tenets in the book. And he said that sounded great. And so we did that, and it was a live webcast. And, of course, you can go back and see it again. And it was, you know, I was just so humbled for him to host me at the Seattle Seahawks facility and talk about the book.
Have you ever thought to yourself, I'd like his job?
Yeah, I think everybody has said, you know, you got to be careful about that, though. The man works about 45 hours a day and has an enormous amount of responsibility on his shoulders, but it's what he does. He competes every day, every hour, and every detail matters. And it's how a guy, you know, takes a bunch of third and fourth and fifth round draft picks and goes and wins the Super Bowl. He's an amazing dude.
I want to talk about one of the concepts you touch on at length in your book, and that is daring to leave your comfort zone. You've had to do that yourself, and you encourage your players to do that. How so?
Well, the thing is, we all have a comfort zone, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, you need to have a place to recharge your batteries and rejuvenate, and my comfort zone is this leather chair that I sit in and watch TV, and everybody in my family knows whose chair that is.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Archie Bunker's old chair, and that's my comfort zone, and it's good to regenerate and recharge. And some people's comfort zone is a group of friends or a restaurant or whatever. But the thing I've noticed about my comfort zone is nothing profound or amazing has ever happened in my life when I was in it. And that's a microcosm for we need to quit surrounding ourselves with people who think just like us, who look just like us, who come from places just like us. Because when we operate inside a vacuum and we surround ourselves with only people who are just like us, there's no growth and there's no learning. But when we get out of that comfort zone and surround ourselves with people that espouse different thoughts and beliefs, and you talk civilly and candidly and non-threateningly about those differences, you find there's tons of commonality. And that's how you progress and grow together rather than grow apart. And I just, you know, I wish people in D.C. would get out of their comfort zones. I think people in family need to get out of their comfort zones. Certainly in my business, I have to get out of my comfort zone to be successful. And I just feel like you can't lead from a vacuum. You can't lead from your comfort zone. You've got to get out and be open-minded and civil and find out what's going on around you.
But how do you get the people you're leading to leave their comfort zone and realize, okay, this guy wants to try stuff, and I want to be on his team, and I want to try stuff too?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're not going to get people to think outside the box and get out of their comfort zone if the person they're supposed to be following won't do it themselves. I mean, you gotta get out of your comfort zone, and once you're out of there, you gotta serve a little bit. And once you serve and people see that you're not gonna be tied down or handicapped by societal preconceived notions, and that you're there to do something for the benefit of others, then by nature of that, people will follow you. And then by definition, you're leading.
You know, one of the things that I've always encountered, particularly when I'm working with people who are just coming into the business, because I remember what it was like when I was first starting out. I was eager to learn. I wanted to know, how does this work? How do I do that? But I've encountered, at the other end of my life here, I've encountered two kinds of people, those who can't and those who won't. And when somebody can't, I always thought, well, okay, you can't do it. I will teach you how to do it. I will take my best effort and teach you. But if you won't do it, I don't want to waste my time. Did you encounter that yourself, both as a businessman and as a coach?
I think, unfortunately, you encounter that along the way. And, you know, those who won't are oftentimes, you know, if you surround yourself with those who won't, you're in trouble. If you surround yourself with those who can't, you're fine as long as they have a willingness to compete and a willingness to try. You find it in business, you find it in sports. I'll tell you where you find it. It's in politics. So many get so entrenched in their ideology that they're unable to see common sense solutions. And I think that's why we have such dysfunction in D.C.
Bill, you've mentioned politics twice now. Are you going to run for something?
No. The 30,000-foot view of against the grain is this, Paul. We can be an open-minded, forward-thinking, inclusive society without abandoning the core principles that got us here in the first place. And I keep seeing in family and business and politics this entrenched ideology where the far, far 10% to one side of thought and the far, far 10% to other side of thought pretty much screwed up for the majority of the 80% of us who can find commonality and really don't disagree that very much, but we seem to be pulled in two different directions, and it happens everywhere. And, the argument is of against the grain is we need to go against the grain of what is starting to go on in our culture and in our society and find commonality.
Oh, I wish there were more of that, and I agree with you about the 80% of us in the middle who are getting pulled apart by the 10% at each end.
That's what happens.
Bill, what is a turkey person?
First year at Manassas, I was, when we got there, they had 17 kids, and their previous 10 years record was 7 wins and 93 losses, and it was clear that we needed to be coaching stuff other than X's and O's. Character, commitment, integrity, the dignity of hard work, the difference in being hurt and being injured. And about midway through the season, half the team was really buying in to all of it. Now, the whole team was buying into the X's and O's because we started winning some games. But the minute they left the field, they were back into some of the same destructive behavior they had. So half the team was buying into all the stuff. Half was only buying into the football stuff. I was pretty frustrated, so I went to my guy. Every coach has a guy, and I said, hey, man, how do I get that half of the team to start buying into the whole program like you guys are? And this is a guy that, along the way in the early years, really told me, helped me understand things, and he'd always been very candid with me. And when I asked that question, he just dismissed me. He said, keep doing what you're doing. And it shocked me because he'd always been open with me. And I said, tell me the truth. And he said, I don't want to hurt your feelings. I said, you're not going to hurt my feelings. Just tell me the truth. He said, Coach, all right, they're trying to figure out if you're a turkey person or not. And I said, man, I got no clue what you're talking about. He said, Coach, every Thanksgiving and Christmas, people that look like you roll in from your neighborhood and our neighborhoods. They're giving away turkeys and hams and gifts, and we take them because we ain't got none. But then we never see them again, and it makes you wonder if they're doing all that stuff to make themselves feel good or because they really care about us. And it floored me, and it taught me how important it is that when you seek to lead in family or business or sports or society or politics, how important it is to, one, serve for the benefit of someone else other than yourself, and to do it consistently day in and day out. Otherwise, those that you seek to exact some measure of change in will see you as nothing but a fraud.
Right. That is some of the great wisdom you'll find in a book called Against the Grain, A Coach's Wisdom on Character, Faith, Family, and Love, by a unique guy by the name of Bill Courtney. It's always a pleasure. Thanks for coming back on the show today.
Thanks. I appreciate your having me.
This is America Weekend.
America Weekend.